In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So a happy feast of trumpets. Today is the day where the shofar is blaring all over the world, last night, tonight, basically getting ready for this harvest feast that we're celebrating. One of the things that, you know, is coming is the church is going to have this harvest feast. We can see this with St. Honorable de Francia, with the Rogationists, that prayer that Jesus said, send workers for the harvest. So this harvest that's coming is God has asked us to be alive at this time. Many things have happened over the summer, and the solution to what has happened and what is happening is the Book of Heaven. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, great things happen. Sunday, the reading on Sunday, if you're reading the calendar, was so amazing. September 6th, 1937, volume 35. That document itself is, if we could study that over and over and over again, what Jesus taught Louisa, we would really begin to understand what God wants for us. He wants us to return back to the womb of the Father. He wants us to live this abundant life that our Lord is asking us to live. So great things are happening. Great things are happening in our life. And the one thing that Jesus doesn't want from us is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity. He doesn't want this misery of the human will ruling our lives. And with Jesus as our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, with especially spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, what happens at that point is you begin to enter into this abundant life that our God wants us to possess. So great things are in store. Not to worry. If you're worried, start reading. If you're upset, start reading. If you're afraid, start reading. When Jesus speaks to us, nothing can interfere with our peace, joy, and happiness. Our Lady at the foot of the cross, she was going through great sorrow, but she didn't lose her peace. She was going through, Jesus said, such great sorrow that any normal person would have died. But because she was living in the divine will, as Mother of God, Theotokos, she got through this. And we're not going to go through what Our Lady went through, but it will be similar. And so as we begin today on volume 32, October 1st, 1933, Louisa says, the divine will never leaves me. And this is the life that our God wants us to enter into. The life of peace, joy, and happiness. This is the life that we are supposed to live, not to be separated from God in the least. And our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, she says, it seems to me that the divine will is always inside and outside of me as in an act of surprising me. Okay. See, our Lord, I was just talking to somebody this morning. They were talking about angels. And they say, how many angels do we have? Well, you have your guardian angel. And then every time you make a sacrament, like your sacrament of Eucharist, on that day, you receive another angel to help you receive the sacrament. The angels are there to help you. For when you made your first confession, the angel was given to help you make a good confession. See, we're born with nothing. We are really nothing. And God in his wisdom, in his mercy, in his love, gives us as a gift, a living creature, as a gift. Everything is alive with God. So he gives us this angel that will help us get through. So if you have any talent, if you're a singer, if you're, you know, a musician, if you're an artist, if you're good at math, it's because of what God has given you. And what he's given you is a holy angel to help you. And each of us, we should never be envious of anybody else or jealous of anybody else, because the gifts that God has given us are unique in the world. He has filled us with light and life and love through the angels that we have. So the more that we learn how to embrace this life that God has given us, not only our body, minds, and souls, but the angels around us, you know, we never feel that you're alone, because call on your holy guardian angels. If there's a thunderstorm, call on your holy guardian angels. If something's happening, your holy guardian angels will take care of you. This is God's gift to us. You know, the other angels that we have with our guardian angel will help us. So great things are coming. So it seems to me that the divine will is always inside and outside of me. This is what we're going to begin to learn, to live this life. You're not isolated. You're not alone. Your prayer is powerful. When we ask Jesus, pray in my praying, the prayer that you have is God's prayer. If it's morally and dogmatically sound, it's God praying in us. And he wants to hear his prayer in us. That's like the command prayer is, take my prayer and make it your command. That's what Peter did. Peter, when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he says, if you are the Messiah, command me. Because he says, you have the power. Command me to come to you. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Humans don't walk on water. But this was a divine act that God was allowing him to do, to basically tell us that, as Jesus says, you'll do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? Well, Jesus in us are doing it. It's when somebody says, I'm doing a divine act. Humans don't do divine acts. God does it. And we have to get out of the way so that God can reign in us. This is what's so essential. It's to say to the Lord, you know, you're in charge of my life. I'm not in charge. You are my Lord, my Savior, my God. You're my King. I trust in you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. And Jesus says, give me your human misery, your human will, which is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Give that to me. Let me reign in you. Let me take possession of your human will so that the divine will can begin. So we use our free will to choose, do I want to continue to live this miserable life of me being in charge? Or do I want Jesus to be in charge? I want my King, my Lord, my Savior, my Master to be in charge of me. So it's this docility, it's this surrender. And as you read, and this is like, again, I was overwhelmed on Sunday reading in volume 35, September 6th, 1937. 1937. And it was astonishing. Every line, I had to read it over and over and over again to enter deeper, deeper, and deeper into what this is all about. And that one page, time that Jesus spoke this way was so clear. It was so precise that it was exciting. It was really exciting. And our God wants us, it's not just to read, it's to, the divine will never leaves me. Is that happening with us? And we have to say to Jesus, Lord, you did this to Louisa. Let this be with me. I want the divine will to never leave me. And then it seems to me that the divine will is always inside and outside of me. Now, the reason we speak of Louisa all the time is Louisa is the firstborn. who possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. She possesses this gift. So we're not honoring Louisa. We're really going to Jesus and Mary. We're saying, I want this life that you gave to Louisa. She's the funnel, if you want to say, to bring this abundant life. So when you read, it seems to me that it all, the divine will is always inside and outside of me. We say the same thing. Lord, I want this as well. I want this abundant life. I want to know everything that you taught Louisa. I want to put into practice everything that you gave to Louisa. And it says, as in an act of surprising me, this is the father bringing their child a gift. It's alive. It's not something that you put on a shelf and look at it occasionally. This divine will, this life of Jesus and Mary, this life of God, he wants us to begin to live this. We're to be in God's image and likeness. So you go back to the spiritual DNA of Adam and Eve. They lost that because of the original sin. Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, come to earth. Why? To begin that Catholic faith again, that universal life again. And what God has planned is so, we get glimpses of it as we read. We get glimpses of, when we read the lives of the saints, we understand how to do the will of God. Little by little, we become a divine mirror of Jesus and Mary. With this gift of the divine will, we go beyond that to begin to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This great gift of the divine will, living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then we go beyond that to enter into the divine inheritance of the Father. So from doing the will of God, volume 1 through volume 10, to living in the will of God, volume 11 through volume 19, to possessing the divine inheritance of the Father. Now, nobody possesses it completely yet. We get glimpses of it. Jesus says, when that great day arrives, the earth will shake. When that great day arrives, a new beginning for everyone's going to happen. So our Lord is asking us, he's saying, are you willing to allow me, the Lord God Almighty, to bring you to where Adam was before the fall, to bring you now to the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary? And when we say yes, he says, go to Louisa. That's our God. I've given everything to her. Now, she has this true life of Jesus and Mary, this, if you want to say, spiritual DNA of Jesus and Mary. And now we can possess it as much or as little as we want. So what do? Jesus says, you can possess it 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? And he doesn't get in our way. He doesn't force us. So as we read, as we study, we enter into this gift that Louisa possesses, and we say, I want to be surprised, because the divine will wants to place its act in everything that I do. I want this. So then Jesus says, okay, you have to be attentive. You have to be attentive to what you're doing, what you're thinking, saying, and doing. You can't, he says, continue to live the way of the world. He says, you have to begin to live the way of heaven. So Our Lady says to Louisa, she says very clearly, I'm going to teach you the way of heaven and no longer the way of earth. So our God is saying to us, get ready for something magnificent. I am going to overwhelm mankind. He's already saved humanity. He's redeemed humanity. And now he says, I want to give you more. Who's ready for more? And when we say, you raise your hand, I want this, God goes, good. Then he says, prove it. So that's the attentiveness. Proving it is to read, to listen to Jesus with your, maybe not your ears, but your heart, your mind, your soul, listening to Jesus, leading us and guiding us and directing us. So we say, I want this divine will always inside and outside of me. I want to have you, Lord God, give me this act of surprising me, because you, Lord, want to place the divine will act in everything that I think, say, and do. So let's go back to prayer. A lot of people say, well, it's my prayer. No, we have to learn from Louisa. That's why the Echo Book is so powerful. The Echo Book is, we're learning how to let Jesus pray in our praying. He is the teacher. He is our Lord, our Master, our Savior, our God. He is leading us, guiding us. So again, it's very, very clear. God wants to place its act in everything that I think, say, and do. And not only that, but he wants to repair everything that we thought, said, and did in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So what is that doing? It's this act of love towards God, of letting God be Lord of our life. And what happens, not only for our life, but for everyone's life. So in the evening, you know, when you're going through your life, what did you do today? What did you think? What did you say? What did you do? What did you fail to do? What happens at that point is God is asking us to repair for all our mistakes from the moment we were conceived, you know, our parents' mistakes, our grandparents' mistakes, our great-great-grandparents' mistakes, all that mankind has done in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as if Adam never sinned. So we want to repair everything. So we present not only our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our parishioners to the Lord, we present to the Lord all of mankind. Why? That's what Jesus did. That's the true life of Jesus. That's the true life of Mary. So he's asking us, would you be willing to do more than the saints? And we go, how can I do more than the saints? Jesus says, I'll teach you how and why you are alive today. And that's the Book of Heaven. As you're reading the Book of Heaven, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with the Blessed Mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. You fall more in love with the Holy Church. You fall more in love with what God has planned for your life that no one else can live. And what happens at that point is you enter into this surprise, this joy that God wants to place its act in everything that we think, say, and do. But not only that, but to repair everything that we have done outside of the divine will, as if everyone had done the divine will. From the moment they were conceived, that spark of life that when we were created. So Jesus says, or Louisa says this, if I pray, if I suffer, if I labor, and even if I sleep, the divine will wants to give me its divine rest in my sleep. So the Lord is saying to us, I want to bring you into a new and divine way of holiness. That's what Pope John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. I want you to enter a new and divine way of holiness. So when you pray, Jesus says, I will pray in your praying. He's the one that's doing the new and divine way of holiness. We are allowing him to really be the Lord of our life. Jesus, I trust in you. That's the final devotion Jesus says that he gives to his church before he returns. Why is divine mercy the final devotion? Because once we say, I trust in you, once we say, I believe in you, once we say, I hope in you, what happens at that point is it's a new beginning for everyone and for everything. So if I pray, if I suffer, if I labor, and even if I sleep, the divine will, this is God's holy divine will, wants to give me its divine rest in my sleep. So a lot of people are having trouble sleeping. A lot of people are tossing and turning at night. And Jesus says to Louisa, because it's Jesus speaking to Louisa, I want to give you divine rest in your sleep. So what does that mean? That means that you can fall asleep. You can sleep soundly. Now, the evil one doesn't want us to sleep soundly. He likes to wake us up. He likes to make sure just before we fall asleep to make noise or whatever to wake us up. And our job is to trust in Jesus, believe in Jesus, confidence in Jesus, so that we can receive this divine rest, divine work, divine prayer, divine labor, you know, even divine sleep, divine rest. See, everything that we have now, Jesus and Mary are saying, we want to go to the next step. This is sanctification. This life, this true life. How did Jesus live for those 30 years before he, you know, went out and talked to the world? How did Our Lady live her life? It was in the divine will, doing and redoing, repairing every thought, every word, every deed. And then Jesus ultimately did this on the cross with Mary with him at Calvary. She was with him as he redeemed the world. So great things are coming, and Jesus wants to start now. And a lot of people say, well, there's 36 volumes. I don't have time to read. Well, what God is asking of us is read. Take that time to listen to him. So God is bringing about, I'm getting something on my screen here. God is bringing about a new beginning for us. And this is something that the Lord has planned from the beginning of time. Now think about this. Out of all that God has done from Adam to this point, he now says, now the kingdom is coming. Now we're going to go back to where Adam was before the fall. And then he says to us, do you want to participate in this? He's not going to force us. So the next part is this. The divine will always wants to give itself something to do. In everything, the divine will calls me by telling me, let me descend into the depth of all your acts. So Jesus is showing us that it's God who's speaking, the divine will. And let me, the Lord God Almighty, descend into the depths of all your acts, what you think, what you say, what you do. See, the three powers that God has given us are intellect, memory, and will. We see things from a human perspective. Jesus now is saying, I want you to see things from a divine perspective. That's why we have our dogma and our doctrine. That's why when we enter into this life, we become more Catholic. It's a universal life. It's the Catholic life. It's the life that God wants us to participate in. So we begin to think from a divine perspective. I always go back to Humani Vitae. If in 1968, 69, when Humani Vitae came out, if we had said, yes, what is human life about? If we had said yes to that, I really, truly believe we'd be living in the divine will now. But because we rebelled against the mind of Christ, the teachings of the church, we are struggling with that. So what do you have? You have in our nation, two groups of people, those that want to kill life and those that don't want to kill life. And our job is to basically possess that universal understanding, that Catholic understanding. And so what God is doing is he's saying, basically, I want to descend into everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do. So your intellect is going to change. Okay, for the better. He's going to teach us how to think the way Jesus thinks. That's the way of the church. How to reason with the mind of Christ. It's not that we're going to be perfect, but he's going to lead us to as much as we want or as little as we want. So the Lord is asking us, pleading with us to really begin to allow him, the Lord God Almighty, to think in our thinking. Okay. So then The next is our intellect, our memory. I don't know how many people are stuck on their own memory. This is what happened to me. This is what they said about me. This is what they're doing against me. This is what they did against my family. This is what they did against my nation. This is what they did. And Jesus says that thinking of self, he says, is a rot. It doesn't accomplish anything. As Jesus said in the Our Father, he says, your Father will forgive you exactly the way you forgive others. If you can't forgive others, you can't be forgiven. And like I mentioned, my dear friend, who she went to daily mass, wore the scapular, prayed the rosary, but all she did was complain. All she did was, they did this and they did that. And I kept on saying to her, you got to forgive them. Well, they were doing this and they were doing that. And even on her deathbed, I told her, I said, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory unless you forgive. And her life was misery. And what we have to do is, our memory can't be of us. It's got to be of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is why we have the Holy Rosary. We have the Holy Rosary. Why? So that we can focus on the life of Jesus. Focus on the life of Mary. Every day, enter into this life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So our memory can't be of us. Jesus says it's just rot. You know, I mean, what is rot? You know, it's all that's dead and becoming mush. He says we're not supposed to live like this, going over, they did this, they thought this, they said this. It's Lord Jesus, what did you think? What did you say? What did you do? Blessed Mother, what did you think? What did you say? What did you do? And as we enter into this gift, we become free. We become happy. We become joyful. Because God is saying to us, there's more than what the earth is showing. It's heaven that we have to begin to live. So the next thing is your intellect, then your memory, and then your human will. Your human will is third, because this is what God is going for. He's going for the ultimate. Our human will is what we say when we go to confession. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. That's our human will. And Jesus says, okay, how do you want to live? I want to be peaceful, joyful, and happy as you, Jesus, are telling me to do through Louisa. God goes, okay, good. How are you going to do it? Well, okay, Lord, and this is our prevenient act every day. We say to our triune God, I want to fuse myself with you, triune God. And how do we do this? Jesus says to fuse yourself with the reflection of the triune God on earth. That's, again, volume 17, May 4th, 1925. This fusing ourselves with the reflection is Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. As we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa to learn how Jesus taught Louisa, to learn how Mary taught Louisa, to learn how Louisa responded to Jesus and Mary. As we learn how to do this, what happens? We begin to live this peaceful, joyful, happy life. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to do this. So the final thing is to, why do we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, and Louisa? So that we can fuse ourselves with creation, redemption, and sanctification. All of creation was given to us. All of creation is ours. Every leaf on a tree, Jesus says, I give to you. Every blade of grass, I give to you. Everything that's out there is an I love you to each and every one of us. And Jesus says, our responsibility is to return that divine I love you back to God. So we breathe in this I love you, this Ruach of God, this breath of God, and we breathe back out this love of God. this I love you back to God. In every leaf on a tree, every blade of grass, every grain of sand, that becomes our rounds. That's the way Jesus prayed. That's the way Mary prayed. That's Jesus as the way Adam prayed before the fall. To give back to God this, I love you, I thank you, I praise you, I bless you, I glorify you, I worship you, my Lord, my God, my Master, my King, my Savior, my all. This divine I love you is so important that Jesus says, I've saved the best for last. We're going to learn how to pray the rounds. We've learned for the last 2,000 years how to pray the way of the saints. We love the prayers of St. Gertrude. We love the prayers of St. Francis. We love the prayers of St. Ignatius. But Jesus says, I want to pray in your praying. I want to teach you how I prayed. I want to teach you how my mother prayed. So what's happening is Jesus is saying, let me descend into the depth of all your acts. And says, why? So I can make you rise into the heights of my divine acts. That's what's coming. God is breathing into us. He says, it's the waves of the shore. Every wave is an I love you. And then as the shore goes out, it's our I love you going back to God. It's breathing in the I love you, breathing out the I love you. Breathe it, your heart, pumping the blood into your heart. God says, I love you. We pump the hot blood out of our heart by saying, God, I love you. So it's this game that God is playing with us. This game of love, of I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you. For all our life, that's heaven. So when you learn to pray the rounds, it's not to pray the prayers of the saints. I mean, they showed us how to do the will of God. But now Jesus says, I'm going to teach you the way that I prayed. I'm going to teach you the way my mother prayed. And that's what God is showing us. He's leading us. He's guiding us. He's directing us to this understanding. So he's asking us, he's pleading with us. He says, let me descend into the acts, into the depth of all that you think, all that you say, all that you do. And I, God, will make you rise into the heights of heaven, the heights of my divine acts. That's why Jesus said, you will do far greater things than I. Jesus didn't fly in a plane. We can fly in a plane and we can say to the Lord, Lord, come with me. And I adore you. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you from the heights of the heavens, looking down at the clouds. You know, this is, our Lord loves us so much that he has saved the best for last. This is greater than the 150 gallons of wine that Jesus made at Cana. You know, the wine was all gone. And what does he do? He created the best of wine. And it's the same thing for today. The prayer that God is teaching us is the best of prayer. And as we learn to pray the rounds, what happens is, You become praying. You pray like Adam did. You pray like Jesus did. You pray like Mary did. You begin to pray the way they taught Louisa. It's abundant. And there's each and every one of us prays in a unique manner. That's why there's no rules in the divine will. It's all up to you. What do you want? God says, I have to give you what you want. Do you want to do this 20%? Do you want to read and become aware of how to live this abundant life? 5% of your life, 10% of your life, 100% of your life. What do you want? Jesus, I have to give you what you want. Because this is why the separation is taking place. This is why God is making it very clear. What side do you want? Who do you want to follow? Who do you want to live with? Who do you want to possess? Is it God or is it the evil one? Bob Dylan had that song, you gotta serve someone. You gotta serve somebody, he says. It's either the devil or the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And that's what's coming. God is showing us. He is leading us. He is guiding us. And we can have as much as we want or as little as we want. This is essential. So Let me descend into the depths of all your acts. What? How are you praying? I mean, for the priests at the consecration, what are you, what, where is your mind? Where's your heart? Where's your soul? You know, in this moment of consecration, when they hold up the host to the people and say, this is the Lamb of God. You know, what do we say? You say but the word and I will be healed. Let me share in your divinity. You know, this is so important that each word that is prayed at Mass that the lay people participate in, not verbally, but with their heart, their mind, their soul. What happens at that point is it's a new beginning every day. More is being poured out upon the earth. See, this is why God is saying to each and every one of us, what do you want? I have to give you what you want. And there's no limit to what God wants to do. He let me descend into the depth of all your acts. And I, God, will make you rise into the heights of my divine acts. We will compete. You to descend, ascend, and I, God, to descend. It's the breathing. It's the heart pumping. It's the waves coming against the shore. God wants this, as he says, competition. He wants this game. He wants to play this game with his children. You know, a father throwing the ball to the son throwing the ball back to the father and the daughter. It's this competition. It's this play. And God wants us to enter into this abundant life. We're not alone. And the evil one wants us to think we're alone. But as you begin to pray the rounds, you breathe in the I love you. You breathe out the I love you. And every leaf, this is what Jesus says. He says, every leaf on a tree is an I love you. That's ever existed. Every tree that ever had a leaf, every blade of grass that ever existed, every grain of sand that ever existed is an I love you. He says, this is the creation is filled with I love yous. And Jesus says, I want you to possess this. Then he says, in redemption, every drop of blood, every sigh, every moan, every tear of Jesus and Mary is more than all the I love yous of creation. So you have all the I love yous of creation, and then you have more I love yous of redemption. And then Jesus says, sanctification is greater than creation and redemption combined. So we were giving now sanctification is to say, I love you back to God in the name of everyone and everything past, present, and future. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. What does that mean? It means the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says it's the fulfillment of the Our Father. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? The evil one who is banished from heaven will be banished from earth. What does that mean? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. Jesus has saved the best for last. And what's coming is the kingdom. And he's saying to us, would you be willing to participate in with Louisa? It's her job to bring the kingdom so that the kingdom comes sooner. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to give your life so that everyone has the ability, the possibility to live in the kingdom? Would you be willing to do this? When we say yes, then we follow this. Jesus says today to us, let me descend into the depths of all your acts, everything that you think, everything that you say, everything that you do. And I, God, will make you rise into the heights of my act. And then we, God, will compete with you, to you to ascend and I to descend. See, what's coming is the kingdom where we're going to be one with God as Adam was in the beginning. So it's our job is to not look at what's happening on the earth. Okay, he's showing us this to tell us it's soon. He's telling us it's soon. And he's saying to us, the way I'm proving to you that it's sooner than you think is by giving you the book of heaven. I'm going to show you the way and the how this kingdom is going to be on earth as it is in heaven. He's going to do this. God is going to do this. And then Louisa says, but who can say what the divine will made felt in my soul? Now, when you go through this little paragraph, word by word, phrase by phrase, entering into this life that Jesus is breathing into Louisa, as we enter and participate in this, the same thing we say, who can say what the divine will makes us feel in my soul? It's excess love. It's excessive love. It's condensation. It's continuous occupying itself over my poor soul. God is in charge. And I've mentioned this before, but I can always tell when someone is not reading. They're worried. They're fearful. They're anxious. They're complaining. They're negative. They're doubting. They're alone. When you read the divine will, Jesus is leading you, guiding you, directing you. He's teaching you how to live this abundant life. This is what they did with Louisa. This is why we go to Louisa. We go to Louisa because God has plans and we're in them. And as Father Bucci said, St. Francis was for his time. St. Clair was for her time. Louisa is for our time. Louisa was called Louisa La Santa when she was alive. Because Father Bucci said that the church will one day recognize Louisa is the saint of the divine will. You go to St. Francis to be a Franciscan. You go to St. Benedict to be a Benedictine. You go to St. Dominic to be a Dominican. You go to Louisa to enter into this gift of the divine will. This is a glorious time to be alive. Our Lord has planned this. He has predestined us to live at this time. Great things are coming, and the evil one doesn't want this. He's going to try to distract us. He's going to try to discourage us. And again, you have to fight discouragement as you fight hell. Once you're discouraged, it's easy to fall into despair. Once you despair, you end up like the one who hung himself. There's no hope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our King. Jesus is our Master. And he wants to speak to each and every one of us, not far away, but right with us. As he says, we will compete. You're going to ascend and I'm going to descend to you. It's this constant movement of God that our Lord wants us to participate in. This is a great time to be alive. Great things are going to happen this year. Hang on to your hats. It's going to be great. So we'll end with a blessing. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.